From the Carter Subaru Studios, this is the Jack and Spike Show.
Welcome to the Jack and Spike Show. Mr. O'Neill, nothing but bad news, I guess, today.
Bad news today? On a Friday? A sunny Friday?
This is just all bad news, according to Aaron Granillo over here. It's all just death and destruction. There's nothing to look forward to.
I said there's going to be sunny.
Yeah, that's nice. That's good. Thank you, Aaron.
Jack somebody's house and his stuff and drive to Sunny Road on the way to Mexico. Yeah, that was good. Saying,
I see why Americans avoid news. I see why they avoid. Nothing against you, Aaron.
I get it.
You're great at what you do.
I can see.
Did you guys see that stat recently on the number of Americans who actually take in news?
No.
It's like below 50% of people who actually keep up with contemporary news. It's
almost 50 are willing to still hang in there with us. That's great.
I know. Well, the thing that makes me think about this is just the onslaught of news is normally bad. It's normally negative.
Yeah.
Because it feeds the part of our monkey brain which lets us know that there's danger. Does that make sense?
Perfect sense, yeah. Yeah.
So just as a quick example, there was a study that was done on capuchins. You know, a capuchin, it's a little organ grinder monkey.
Okay, thank you.
And
Layman's terms for Spike, please.
What they found, so they have to alert each other. They travel in these huge troops of 30, 40 capuchins, right? And when they alert each other, they do this kind of like this high-pitched kind of like a
Yeah, right?
They try to alert and whooping noises and all this other kind of stuff.
Right.
And what they found is that when the little capuchins do this, no one really pays attention, right? It has to be the group of the oldest female capuchins or the oldest male capuchins mm-hmm. who make this noise, and then everybody pays attention
to
it.
The Walter Cronkites. Okay. I see the relation. I see where you're going.
What I'm saying here, though, is that it's basically ingrained into us at a deep evolutionary level. So that when somebody says, "Sue Adams is better," that we all immediately perk up and pay attention.
For survival's sake, right?
But then when you think about it, we're not monkeys. We are complex hominids who engage in the construction of a society. And because of that, we don't need to be outraged and mad and hooping and hollering and whatnot because we can actually think about it with our rational brains. But because the onslaught is incessant, because it never stops, there is no time for us to reset. You ever think about that? There is no reset time emotionally for the deluge of negative stuff that happens.
Right. We need time to recover.
Right. Exactly.
Our psyche needs time to recover.
But we don't, right?
Because
every day it's Fonnie Willis or the mayor, Bruce Harrell, getting mixed reviews in his first safety forum, which is what we're going to talk about. Or it's... Yeah, Donald Trump or Joe Biden and blah, 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 blah.
It's Gaza.
It's Ukraine.
It's the border.
It's whatever it is.
I hear you.
We all suffer from a deep form of soul sickness, and we don't necessarily understand why. But I can tell you that the reason is primarily because people don't actually know how to deal with that onslaught of just chaotic news. So Mayor Bruce Harrell got mixed reviews in his first safety forum. He started out, this is kind of weird, this statement that he started out with when he says, He says what his job is. It's a little kind of...
Okay.
Like, go ahead and play that, Lord.
I don't mince words on this. That my job, my charter responsibility is to protect everyone in here.
That's because he is Batman. I don't know if anybody knows that.
That's why you don't see him during the day too often.
So when he says it's his job to keep everyone safe, textually speaking, he's saying that his job is an impossibility, right? There is an overturned grate somewhere in Pioneer Square. You know, have you guys heard about this? It's a grate that's supposed to be like this, supposed to be on that, but the bulbous side is actually up.
Okay.
And people keep tripping on it down in Pioneer Square.
Okay.
It's all over the Seattle subreddit. Technically, if his job to make sure that everybody is safe, I would imagine that fixing something as simple as a grate that's meant to be right side down could have been done. But apparently we're working big to small here.
Maybe he's speaking metaphorically that he needs to oversee the programs and the resources to keep us all safe.
That's fundamentally a ridiculous premise. Like that's like me saying it's my job to keep all cats safe, right? Now that's an absurdity on its face. There's no way he can do it. And by saying so, it's a lie. When he says, "Well, it's my job to keep everyone safe." Not technically, no. So he just can't, right? It's my job to make sure I eat all this pizza. Sure, yeah, that's a doable task.
But it is the mayor's job to save the city from all that pizza. He's doing great.
He goes on to say his limits on his power as mayor. Here's what that sounds like.
As mayor, I cannot regulate firearms. I cannot bar firearms in parks. I cannot establish a alcohol limit by which if someone exceeds it, I can take their gun.
But if I dress up at night in a bat costume, I can do all those things, right? I
mean, bend the barrel with his bare hand. I've seen that.
Listen, you guys, I can't go up to a guy who's not paying child support and tell him, hey, man, start paying child support. I can't go up to a woman and say, hey, ma'am, you got to learn how to fix a flat tire and quit bugging the guys down at the 76. Like, there are limitations on my power. Sure. I can't levitate 6 inches off the ground, and I can't make bunny rabbits come out of a hat. Okay, right.
That's why the mayor needs to build a Justice League with other superheroes that can help him be a world.
This is so hollow and so like, dude, don't give me this sanctimonious thing about what you can and cannot do. The way that you fix a culture is ground up. It's healthy families, healthy connections, communities, boys and girls clubs, churches. All of the data pans this out, every single piece of it. And so when you go up there and you're like, well, it's my job to keep everybody safe and I have limitations on my... It's like, dude, get over yourself. He goes on. This is actually the chief of police, Adrian Diaz. He decided to highlight recent homicide arrests. Here's what that sounded like.
In just the last week, we've actually made 5 homicide arrests just in a week. One case was in 2023. The other 4 cases are in 2024.
So this is a sales pitch when politicians do this, right? No offense to the fine Chief Diaz, but this is a sales pitch from both the mayor and the chief of police. Hey, this baby's got 5 homicide arrests. You like the way this
take a seat in there. Does that feel good? Does that feel safe?
It's got a cup.
Close that door. Is that solid?
Hey, it's got cup holders in the back as well. I can get you the Carfax report on that one if you want it. It's a sales pitch, and people don't... This is why he got a mixed review on it. Again, if you're just tuning in, we're being very critical of the mayor, because he did this safety quorum or whatever. He did this safety talk.
The first public safety forum.
After a woman got shot, right. After somebody got stabbed to death, after all this other stuff.
Three gun shootings within a couple days prior to this first forum.
So he comes out and he does a sales pitch. We don't, as citizens, we don't need a sales pitch. The milk's gone bad. Do you know what I mean? Things are amiss here that you can't actually fix. Here's the mayor saying that they're targeting certain things, but not other things. Here's what that sounds like.
50% of all reported crimes happen on just 5% of our city blocks. So when we talk about targeting areas, we're not targeting people. We're trying to go where the action is where we can do more preventative work.
Okay, so rhetorically, that's a lie. You are targeting people. You're targeting the people who are on those blocks, right?
Who are committing crimes.
Who are committing crimes,
well,
right?
That's okay, though, right?
Right, but he needs to
say... We only send the fire department to the places that are on fire. Now, I know there's a big city out there. Somebody said you haven't seen a fire truck in years. Let me tell you why.
We only send the ice cream trucks to the places where the little kids are playing.
And they have change in their hands.
They got change in their hands.
Sure, there's schools we don't send them. It's for the ice cream truck, too. Sure.
That's what I mean by a sales pitch. He says we're only targeting certain neighborhoods. Only certain people live in those neighborhoods, right? I mean, this is just... I like the mayor personally. He is very bad at this kind of thing. I say that as someone who I wish him nothing but the best in his pursuits of mayoral whatever. This is bad. This is, you don't placate people and do this like sanctimonious garbage where you, this is a word salad saying we're targeting neighborhoods, not people. Okay, like come on now. This is, everybody on its face can see that there are people who will be disproportionately affected by targeting those specific neighborhoods.
I could see how that could be interpreted that way.
It's not interpreted that way, Spike. That's a
fact.
We're
sending the cops to where the crime is.
Right.
Isn't that what they're really just saying?
And so what kind of people are in those neighborhoods?
Criminals, apparently. Not to be using blanket statements, because that's getting people into trouble today.
It's going to be poor drug addicts.
Yeah, well, okay.
Largely of color, right?
Okay.
And so he's trying to dance around that rather than talk about what is going on within certain communities, or even a larger concept, what is going on systemically, which results in a pocket of poor, drug-addicted people of color in these areas specifically.
Yeah, but we're talking about a 90-minute public forum, first of 6, that didn't have a Q&A.
Yeah, but I'm not a politician, but if I can do it better than he can, I should be the mayor, right?
I've said that from the day I met you.
I mean,
getting back to your initial analogy of the... the Walter Cronkite monkeys.
Yes.
Right? Isn't that what the mayor and the chief police are trying to do? But to address the pack?
No.
And reassure them?
No.
No?
No. No. This is not reassuring because it's a lie. It's not true. Right? It's, I mean, this is all, this is all.
Okay. Okay.
If I bake a cake, okay, and it's, I run out of cake batter and it's actually mashed potatoes and then I put icing on top of it and I call it a cake. I'm technically not lying. It is a potato cake,
yeah.
But I am giving the impression
yeah.
that it is a delicious Baskin-Robbins frozen cake.
And right? while you may make everyone happy when you walk in that you've got a cake in your hand, when you take that first bite, you're disappointed because right. this is not what we need and right? we're promised. I got you.
And if you want to talk about it at the atomistic level, we would say that there are economic conditions within Seattle that have outpaced the rate at which these people can get mental health care services or find themselves in an economically viable position. Thus, they turn to drugs and crime as a method of survival. And so in order to stave this off, we shall be instituting a program in which we clear these areas and we get these people into spaces where they can either get rehab or they can get medical attention against their will. Right. That would be I have the power to do this. These people are a danger to themselves and the people around them. And thus I shall be solving this problem and attempting to correct the woes of our modern age. That is a solution, not Chief Diaz coming out like he did his homework 3 years too late and said, we got five homicide arrests. Everybody, hey, did you hear that? Five of them. Okay, like, thanks. That's your job. You're telling me that you did your job. Right?
Well, for a lot of people, the police aren't doing their job. So maybe he's saying, hey, we're addressing your sentiment that we're not doing anything.
Attendees didn't seem satisfied. They were talking to Cairo 7 and Como 4, and this is a supercut that Laura put together for us. Here's what that sounded like.
I would like it to be more audience participation, and the few people that I did talk to, that's what they were expecting.
Well, there really wasn't any opportunity to even, like, really ask them in-depth questions. We're not addressing the root of the issues that need to be addressed are not being addressed.
Yeah. Do you see
what
I'm saying?
You're a man of the people. You nailed all that.
Well, because Mayor Harrell, God bless him, does not understand the problems that he's dealing with. I'm sorry. He fundamentally does not in the way that I do or anybody else does, because you have all these half measures and quarter measures that mm-hmm. are in place. And we're going to do shot caller, whatever that program is, yeah. shot spotter, whatever yeah. that is. This is there is nothing worse than someone who does not know what they do not know about a certain scenario. And if the mayor actually had people who understood what was going on, you have people who are a danger to themselves and they're a danger to the community around them. That is what in California, what we call a 5150. What do you call it in Washington State?
I think it's the same.
Is it a 5150 in Washington State? It's an involuntary hold, right?
Okay, yeah.
Where you are then seen to, I mean, these people are literally a danger to themselves. And so rather than saying we have to be the adults in the room and rather than saying well, we need to set aside, he comes out and he says, I'm renting this warehouse space to process all these people. I'm going to be getting these people top to bottom wraparound services. I don't care what anybody says. I'm going to blow out the budget. Rather than doing that, which is would solve the problem, it's, well, we're not going to target people. We're going to target neighborhoods, which is a very suburban way of saying we are going to be arresting poor, mentally ill people of color who are addicted to drugs because that's the most convenient thing for us to do to pad out the numbers to make it seem as if we are doing something to solve the problem.
You're almost verbatim quoting a business owner in Ballard who came out and said, look,
yes.
you're not addressing the problems of right. drug use, of homelessness, of floating RV encampments
right.
until they become such a problem that our safety is at risk or our property is damaged. That's when you step in.
Right. Now, whose approach is more compassionate?
I think, well, yours.
Mine or the mayor's, right? You got to think about it because there's a bunch of people out there who'd be saying, oh, Jack, you want to put these people in camps. No, I don't. Some people would be, oh, Jack, you want to deprive these people of their rights. They literally have none anymore. They can't comprehend what it means to take care of themselves. What a civil society does and what a just society does is we say, how can we help these people? Right? Not
yes,
this
yes.
bizarre song and dance that the mayor is doing. Right? And no offense to the mayor. He's a very nice guy. I've spoken to him a number of times.
Well,
I like him personally.
Is the mayor reacting to the city's demand for more accountability from the police or, you know, by the police department, of the police department?
No,
from the
I'll tell you
department.
What happened. I'll tell you, somebody in their consulting firm mm-hmm. told him that he had to go out and make a statement because there's been an uptick in crime over the last 2 weeks. and somebody within their political consulting team or whatever said, you got to go out there and you got to do the whole song and dance about how good of a job you're doing. And then we're going to word it in a way so it's not frightening to the white liberals who voted for you. And we got to word it in such a way so that the small business owner out there thinks that you're doing something for them. I'm not trying to be cynical about this.
No, I hear you.
What I'm saying is that as a society, we need to acknowledge this kind of politicking for what it is and shed it, meaning that we need to move away from having this be the expectation. And I'm so pleased to hear that there were people who were there who were saying, what did I just sit through? Timeshare?
Yeah, a 90-minute presentation about come on back. That was a free steak dinner.
Free steak dinner.
Come on back to Seattle.
Right. Like,
you know, pick your weekend. You know, you don't have to come two weekends a year. That's kind of what. That's how they were selling
it. No upkeep fees. Right. No HOA.
Get out at any time you like, but it's a lifetime commitment. So this was the first of six of these public safety forums. Right, there were complaints that it weren't a Q&A. You couldn't ask any in-depth.
Yes.
So should they revamp the format? Because they'll do one in each of the city's police precincts.
Okay, this is what the mayor needs to do, is that he needs to have a very succinct plan on where to process the amount of homeless people who are at like Third or wherever it is. Right. And so he's got to take that succinct plan, and then that's what he needs to sell to everybody. So that when they see the paddy wagons rolling through and taking these people, some of them by force, they understand that the place that they are going to is a place for them where they can actually bathe, see a physician,
right.
Get new clothes.
Analyze their mental situation.
Analyze their mental
their drug
healthcare,
situation. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, okay.
And so it might look like kind of an authoritarian whatever, but then we know that what we're actually doing is we're actually providing for these people, right? And then the other thing he needs to do is he needs to get out of it and let a bunch of big brain doctors do all the oversight. No bureaucrats, physicians, right? Mental health care workers, social workers.
Right, right.
And there's a lot of people out there that would be more than happy to take that job for 8 months or a year or whatever it might be. And that's what the man's got to do. And it's sure, yeah, you might violate some civil laws, you might get a couple of lawsuits, but I think for saving lives, it'd be worth it. Hey, speaking of, by the way, violating
your civil rights. Yeah.
Your civil rights. Fascist Billy Sunshine's going to be coming on a couple of few. Our senior West Coast liberal elite champagne socialist correspondent. Because Fani Willis gets to stay on the Trump Georgia case. And I'm sure that Billy is breathing a sigh of relief today. Deep sigh. As much as he can sigh. He doesn't move very much.
Well, she's been given the option by the judge to stay on the case. Judge says either, you know, your prosecutor slash boyfriend, Mr. Wade, has to go, or we'll kick the whole thing to the street.
A man is not a plan. We'll take a really quick break. We'll be right back right after this. Welcome back. Our senior West Coast liberal, coastal elitist, what do you want to call it? Champagne socialist.
I love that one. That's my favorite.
Everything that's wrong with the country, Mr. Billy Sunshine.
Wow.
How are you this morning, sir?
You know, eventually you're going to run out of negative things to say about me, and I look forward to that day.
That's an impossibility, Billy. There are boundless negative things that I could say about you. I just have to go through them alphabetically. So, Fani Willis gets to stay on the Trump Georgia case. Now, if you need a little bit of filling in the background on this, Fani Willis is the special prosecutor who's coming in, and she's going to be
district attorney for what county is it in Georgia?
Fulton County, in Georgia.
Fulton.
And so she hired
the city of Atlanta.
Yeah, she hired special prosecutor Wade to come in and be part of her team, and then they started a relationship together. Her boyfriend, you guys know what I'm talking about, getting the boyfriend a little bit of a job.
Yeah.
And he is a good-looking man. I just got to say that. As someone who's, you know, not into that kind of thing.
Yeah. He's a solid, solid hunk of burning love.
It's raining men. You know what I'm talking
just
about?
Just the one.
All right.
All right. Relax in there. Take it easy. Let's bring the energy down.
So,
by the way, he has resigned.
Which means the case gets to move forward. Billy, I'm curious, what's your analysis on this, my friend? Are you happy about this or are you sad about this?
Well, you know what I find surprising? We get to be around for the very first time that most of the news about a political campaign is about one of the people in the campaign constantly being in court for one thing or another. So today, you know, we have the Georgia case, and so the judge has gotten rid of some of the counts and has said you got to fire your boyfriend. And the boyfriend has already resigned, and she's accepted his resignation. And oh, by the way, over in New York, while we're talking about it, because we've got to keep up with all of our favorite criminals' experiences, they're going to have a 30-day delay because it turns out they've just had a 30,000-page dump from the feds.
Right, but they had asked for a 90-day, and then the lawyer who is prosecuting in that case agreed to a 30-day, and then the judge gave them the 30 days. You know what I mean? So it's kind of like there's Albert a good Brown. Compromise there. So I think that that's totally fair.
Sidebar really quick before we move on. If this is about writing a check and calling it legal fees, how are the 30,000 pages of evidence that there's new evidence with that particular, how many times did you have to write the check? How many emails did you go back and forth between 25,000, no, 48,000, no, 31,000, no, 33,000, 30,000 more pages?
You know,
most of them are about Weisselberg lying, probably. You know, remember this. Weisselberg has actually been in jail and pleaded guilty to lying about this stuff. Michael Cohen has already been in jail.
That's all deep state, Billy. That's all deep state. This is all witch hunt. This is all deep state going after Donald Trump because they don't want him to run. The deep state doesn't want Donald Trump to run, even though he gave everybody tax breaks and he had a super great economy and he added more jobs to the federal government. The deep state doesn't want him to run because he's a political outsider. Despite the fact that he gave to both political parties and despite the fact that he was friends with both Republicans and Democrats, to the point where the Clintons came to his wedding, he's on the outside, right? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
he's a political outsider. Despite the fact that he added 2.3 million jobs to the Department of Transportation, he's trying to drain the swamp. That's why they really want to get rid of him. Oh, wait. Also, because of all his spending.
Let me wake up from this dream.
Well, in Georgia, which we started this whole circus going, and the merry-go-round has come around full circle, and it's time to get back on that particular horse. In Georgia, the defense, one of the co-defendants in this RICO case against President Trump and 19 others, they tried to say that since the prosecutor and the DA were in a personal relationship, there was a conflict of interest, that she was doing this to enrich herself. Yeah. And they couldn't prove that.
What does money got to do with it?
Well, because there were vacations, Billy, and there were large purchases.
Lovely vacation.
And their argument was she
handed back and forth.
Yeah, she brought the case so that she could go on vacation with this guy. That's why that's their argument.
Yeah.
There was personal enrichment.
Yeah.
And the judge, well, he made a great decision and he said you've shown horrible judgment, which will be thrown back at this case every time we see anything from the defendant's side, all 18 different defendants, 19 defendants. But what he really said was we're not going to throw this out because you two are having a relationship. That's not pertinent to the facts presented.
This whole thing is now in public. Before there's been jury selection, it's fine.
My favorite part of this whole case, this whole trial thing, was when Fonnie Willis was taken to the stand and she said, "A man is not a plan." Can we play that? I love this audio.
I don't need anything from a man. A man is not a plan. A man is a companion. I don't need anybody to foot my bills. The only man who's ever foot my bills completely is my daddy.
Oh, I love that.
And that old school.
That.
And that was, she was quoting her dad.
Yeah.
She was quoting her dad there. And her dad taught her to be funny. Because the thing was, you paid him back for these trips out of a personal stash of cash you keep in your home. And she said, having a man, and my man is not a plan.
Yeah,
dad said, be an independent woman who can take care of yourself.
Yeah. And I think that my read of it is basically like this. I don't really care if she was in a special relationship with what's his name. I don't see how it in any way, shape, or form affects the integrity of the case. I think this was a weird
the crime
loophole.
The preceded it.
Yeah.
The crime occurred before these people knew each other.
Right. And so
the crime
I think.
Stands alone.
I think that for as much as that this was a. I don't know what you want to call it. For as much as this was like the Trump defense, is within their legal right to
of
do
course,
so.
Yeah, of course.
I think
it's
a loophole that probably needs to be closed in the law. Because it seemed like a tremendous waste of time.
Well, and it was a waste of 2 months.
A waste of 2 months.
Right.
And we all knew what the outcome was going to be. And so it just seems to me like. This is the kind of thing, I mean, just on its face, if you're in a relationship with somebody after the crime was committed or, you know, whatever, or you fell in love with somebody as you were, you know, working on the case or whatever. It just leave it. Just to me, it doesn't make any difference what she was doing with the money or where she was going. I just don't really care. What does it have to do with the actual substance of the case?
Well,
itself?
It seems to me that the Trump defenses in every case, whether it's New York or Georgia or Florida or D.C., it never seems to be he didn't do it. It's that I've got immunity. I can do anything I want.
Right.
Or that you two are getting together and going on vacation. So that's why you brought the case in the first place. Or New York.
Think about the New York case. Literally, he writes the check to Michael Cohen to cover the money Cohen had spent while he's president. And now he wants to say, well, while I'm president, I'm covered. I can do that for you.
I'm completely immune to it.
You have entered the crazy zone.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Sunshine. We appreciate it. We'll check in with you next week. And we all value your contributions that you make on a regular basis. Spike, I got a targeted ad yesterday.
Okay.
Which is what I get.
Mm-hmm.
But then I got, it wasn't for me, though. It was for a lady.
Oh.
And then I got another targeted ad that was for ladies.
Oh.
And then I got another targeted ad that's for ladies. And so I started thinking to myself, why am I getting targeted ads for ladies?
Has someone else had your phone?
Well, I'm going to break it down for you. Because this is, it's very funny.
Okay.
And I think I figured it out why I'm getting, because normally my targeted ads are for nicotine products, you know.
Things that you use, you buy, you search for. Yeah,
cat
yeah.
They're products, targeted. Yeah. Right, guitars, things of that nature. But all of a sudden I start getting lady products and I'm thinking, well, what's going on here? And I think I know what's up.
Okay.
I think I know why people get weird targeted ads sometimes.
Fair.
And we're going to talk about it when we get back right after this. I got a pretty funny story for you guys. Nick, do you get targeted ads?
A little bit, yeah.
What do you get them for, if you don't mind me asking?
If I'm going like shopping for like any certain like pants or clothes like online on Amazon, they'll be like, here's the latest like fleece, you know, colored shirt you can get here at the Gap store.
You get cookied up, yeah.
Right,
yeah.
So I started getting targeted ads for women's products. And I'm talking
like
about
hygiene products,
like hygiene products and like skincare products and, you know, healthy, you know, hair products and all this other stuff. Mm-hmm. And I thought, well, this is weird. But then I started getting an ad on repeat. Laura, tell me if you've seen this ad or not. It's a beautiful young woman who then it's a medium shot right up against her face. And then she goes, I'm looking for the right kind of nutrition to get. And then she backs away from the camera and you see that she's about 8 months pregnant. And she goes, for both of us. And then she talks about, you know, getting the kind of nutrients that a pregnant mom needs. I watched this ad. It's a 2-minute ad with a very young mom. She's got to be in her mid-20s. And I watched the whole entirety of this ad just weeping, being like, I want to have kids.
Okay.
Right?
Okay.
Right. And I'm trying to figure out, why am I getting targeted ads for pregnancy pills? And why am I crying over watching a pregnant mom in her mid-20s? Do you know what I mean?
I'm
36 years old. I'm roided out of my mind. Why am I tearing up for... why are you laughing at me, Laura? What's going on over there?
Oh, no, it makes so much sense. If you like, why would they not target those ads to you if they think that you're in an age range that would be having kids,
right.
You want kids? But why would you not buy those pregnancy pills for your presumably pregnant significant other?
I figured out why I'm getting women's ads in particular.
Did you click on?
No. It's because when I was Googling foster cat programs, that's what it was. Because
you presented as a cat lady, Jack. Right? Is that it?
That's what it is.
Yeah. Oh, wow.
So when I was trying to apply for different programs to be a foster cat dad, I was Googling all the terms that I didn't know and all the legalese behind it. And so basically what I'm saying is that the ad bots are sexist, and so they think that because dudes would not do that and women would do that,
sure,
they put me in the age range of somebody who's likely to get pregnant, married, who needs things like, you know, bras with extra support,
mm-hmm,
and, you know, hair skincare products and whatnot, and pregnancy vitamins. That's what they think that I need. And so now Google thinks that I am indeed a woman.
With child.
With child, right, Laura? Well,
Madonna and child.
And the fact that they've got your spending history, so then you're a person of affluence.
Yes.
Right? And so you're getting the high dollar nutrients here and good vitamins there and skin care here.
Right, exactly.
Well, it beats my theory because I thought maybe that just they had heard you say that you want to be a dad. And that was enough.
Right, yeah. But here's the thing that got me about this ad is that they hit me with the double whammy because it's a young brunette, mm-hmm. right? And she looks, for me, when I first saw her, I was like, oh, a 16-year-old girl. And then I saw that she was pregnant and then I went, oh, she's in her mid-20s. And then there was like that rapid aging thing. You know what I mean?
Where all of a sudden you're in the ad?
No. I all of a sudden start aging rapidly, kind of like Matt Damon.
Yeah. At
the end of Saving
Private Ryan.
Was I a good man to this poor girl? And then her very young husband walks in, and I'm like, oh, that must be her 16-year-old little brother. Nope, that's her husband. And they lift up their 2 or 3-year-old little girl, and then I am instantly just like, I'm just so unbelievably wrecked by this ad. I'm emotionally compromised by this advertisement because then I look around in my very expensive apartment. No pregnant 24-year-old wife.
No.
No 2-year-old little girl in a little froofy dress, surrounded by all my worldly possessions.
That's your legacy.
That's my
guitars hanging on the wall.
I got 8 guitars. I got boutique guitars, by the way. And then I'm just hanging out by myself. As I'm watching this ad, I'm just filled with like melancholy and remorse. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I'm like, what am I doing with my, what does this world even mean? What does this even mean? Where I'm getting targeted ads for a beautiful young pregnant woman. This is like a cruel twist of fate, right? This is basically like, here's an alternative universe where you can be happy.
Where you don't live.
Where you don't live. And here's a ginger who has this beautiful brunette wife, and you're not good. You're less than a ginger in this case.
You're a sub-ginger.
You're a sub-ginger.
That's hard classification.
They're basically mocking me. So here's the thing. Is Google trying to get me to kill myself? Because if they were trying to do it. Are you sure?
Let me tell you what let me give you the good news.
Yeah, please.
The good news is this: 36 is the new 26. Okay, every failure to launch, the delayed coupling of young couples. You're still in the sweet spot.
I think you are not
on an iceberg.
We should get you a skateboard, really.
Seriously, that's a great idea.
You should give me like, hello, fellow kids. I'll down to the skate park.
Down to the skate park and hit the little walls with the youngsters?
Yeah, sure. Exactly.
You could do it too. Did you ever skate?
No.
Did you ever skateboard?
No.
You could rip the skate. You would be awesome.
This is
your balance, your flexibility on a skateboard.
This is not
oh my
what
God,
I,
it'd be incredible.
You'd kill.
What I wanted to focus on, what I wanted
then
to ask
you. Then you could sell turmeric.
We're solving your problem
bucks.
For you, Jack.
What I wanted to ask you guys is, have you guys ever gotten, Laura, have you ever gotten a targeted ad that was clearly meant for a dude? Ever?
Yeah, because I use the computers here all the time.
Oh, you log in with user news desk, right? Whatever. Yeah.
So you get a lot of Brady's search history. So it's a lot of Brady ads for like Domino's
How
pizza.
How to grow a beard?
How to grow a beard? Why is Jack Stein so cool? Is in Brady's Google search?
How can I be more like Jack?
How
Stein?
Can I be more like Jack Stein? Jack Stein net worth. Jack Stein wife. Jack Stein ex-wife. Jack Stein age. I just have you ever got any weird targeted?
I get targeted ads for home goods.
Oh, from the missus?
Yeah, well, she shops, so I mentioned throw rugs earlier, end tables, lamp lighting, lighting companies.
Yeah.
I get, you know, redo my kitchen cabinet ads nonstop.
But the decor in your home is beautiful, Spike. At least the parts of it that I've seen, being that it's so large.
You've been allowed about 18% of our house. Yeah. The rest of it isn't. It's like Beijing at the Olympics. There's just facades hanging over empty rooms. Now, we're doing, Melissa, you mentioned retail therapy earlier and how we all kind of have fallen to retail therapy. I can honestly tell you that the truly unpleasant Mrs. O'Neill has thrived through retail therapy.
Oh, I love
done,
this.
Yeah, she's done really well with retail
Except
therapy.
Except for you can't use your dishwasher.
I'm not allowed to use it. I've got the nicest one, and I could return it as new after 2 years because I've never used it. Because she's the OCD in my house says everything must be washed by hand.
Yeah, exactly.
But I'm happy.
All right. We'll take a really quick break when we get back. The Supreme Court rules on public officials can sometimes be sued for blocking critics on social media. This was a bad ruling. Don Lemon says Elon Musk canceled his X deal after taping an interview together. We got some clips from that interview.
I'm interested to hear this.
Elon Musk is not doing well. Physically, mentally, this is a man who lives in a world of unending suffering, and we need to help the man.
We can do this.
On top of all of that, Biden's aides quickly dismiss the press after the president asked if he can take a couple of questions.
In a segment I'll call Good Staffing. Finally.
And Katie Britt, senator from Alabama, she has someone to blame for her disastrous rebuttal to the State of the Union. She is choosing to blame.
Don't give it away. Okay. Because you'll want to know where she's taking this.
It's pretty good when we get back right after this.